The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on 93.1 FM. WTJX Radio, your NPR station here in the U.S. Virgin Islands. My name is Neville James, and I just want to say it's been a good run of weather here in the Virgin Islands. It's absolutely beautiful outside, and quite the contrary to my friend that I talked to, who lives down under in Sydney. She said that crazy rains going on down under right about now. And it makes sense because, of course, you know, their weather pattern is the reverse of ours. When we're heading into spring, they are heading into the fall. And, of course, you know, our rainy season is summer into the fall. So that makes all the sense in the world. And according to her, that finally the rains have stopped, extreme autumn rain. So that's interesting as well. But though over here, I mean, I'm just looking outside. No, it is gorgeous. And hopefully it remains that way. Now, we could use some sprinkles at night, keep the island a little green because we don't like the brown patchy look. But I'm telling you right now, the water is nice and serene and calm. I think I'm going to see the ferry boat that works its way out of Gallows Bay. I'll head into St. Thomas. I can see that passing. And what I'm telling you, the water is absolutely calm. And so hopefully it can, you know, be nice, get nice like that down under. Me and the engineer, we got a trip. We got your plan to head down under to see what it's like down there. That's going to be a long haul. T. Jones. You know. If Danny want to come out, Danny come out as well, you know, we make it happen. But that's a long haul, you know. I don't see it already. St. Croix, Miami, either L.A. or Frisco. And then catch yourself and then that 14 to 16 hours, a long one day. Leave Tuesday night. Leave Tuesday night, get there Thursday morning, you know what I mean? Because it crossed the deadline. But we'll get it back when we're coming back. We'll get back that day and all that stuff. Now, of course, you know, my good friend Dwayne Henry. When I said my good friend, my mind don't run on Bob Marley. When that song, Duppy Conqueror, when he just said, yes, my friend, my good friend. So my good friend Dwayne Henry, I saw him on Monday. First time I saw him in a while, and he was we were talking about the transition. It's starting to rain now. A little shower, a little blessing. That's a good thing. God, listen, green us up a little bit. Anyway, we were talking about the transition, the data transition window that the Department of Health has been going through, because everybody's been clamoring for the numbers, because you know we need to know what's going on. You know, so like for the last 10 days, they've been, you know, doing it. And they had mentioned it, you know, the migration updates. I think that was a term that they had used. And so they were giving us some generic numbers, like 3 positives, of which 0 on St. Thomas, 3 on St. Croix. That was the night before last and all that stuff. So they put up a data page that was similar to what they've been doing on a daily basis ever since the epidemic has been here. But while the daily data may be accurate, the overall number is not, because they have the total people tested in the 48,000 range, and the 48,000 range was actually way back in the first week of this month. I've been looking at that. For example, their total. So I'm hoping that they're listening to me, and they normally do because they pay attention to detail. For example, they have total tested at 48,413 for March 22nd. But, you know, we were at that total tested number somewhere between March 2nd and March 3rd. Because on March 2nd, the morning of March 2nd when I came on, we were at 48,367. And then on March 3rd, we were at 48,641. So that number needs to be adjusted because we had, as a matter of fact, if you go on the Department of Health website page, their total tested number is over 50,000. That number is actually, because I got that number written down here, that number is actually 50,108. So they need to make an adjustment there. What they did say was, based on the data page, was that we had 80 negatives and 12 positives. So we got to keep an eye on that and see what's going on there. Yeah, 92 tested between March 21st and March 23rd, but the total number is off. And they had 12 positive and 80 negative. And they also said that our actives are in the 40 range. Sunday, March 21st, it was 43. Monday, it was 49. So that number has reduced significantly. So we got to keep an eye on that. And they also have a breakdown with respect to the clinical symptoms of positives and USVI risk factors for transmissions and all that stuff. So we got to keep an eye on that. I know they're working on updating, you know, how they make information available. And that's how we go. They actually give you they tell you how many people actually call the hotline between March 5th and March 22nd. They got 19,700 and 46 total calls over that window, but and they're averaging 51 calls a day. So that is working, and that's a good thing. And then of course today there's testing today, St. John, the Port Authority, the gravel parking lot. So that's this afternoon, I believe it is. So we got to look at that one as well. So whatever we could do, you know, we try to keep the public aware. And you know, the governor is concerned, legitimately concerned about us letting down our guard. So we got to keep an eye on that. Now, nationally, worldometer.info has the big number at 30,636,534. Have deaths at 556,883. That's on the mainland. The New York Times, which is the one we tend to look at. I know Brett Ellis, he likes to look at the Washington Post numbers. 29.9 million positive cases in America. They have deaths at 543,479. Right? Now, yesterday's numbers, they had 58,764 cases, 892 deaths. And the hospitalizations, according to the New York Times, has dropped from 38,969 on Monday down to 38,565 through yesterday. So there was a reduction of 404 hospitalizations, which is good. Heading in the right direction. And that's all we want. Okay? So we got to keep an eye on that. You know, this COVID thing, man, ain't gonna done. We're gonna be here for a while, and we got to stay on top of that. That text message here, let me see what it says. Okay. Here's some news. Something to ask the weather service and one of the listeners. Heard on the mainland last week that the hurricane season will begin May 15th instead of June 1st. So they push it up 2 weeks. That's interesting. Got to look into that to see how that impacts us. Yesterday on Wall Street was not a good day. The Dow was down 308.05 points. Just under up 1% at 0.94%, negative 94%, closed at 32,423. Only 8 of the 30 blue chip stocks saw gains, 22 saw losses yesterday. And let me give you that information. Which 8 saw gains? Procter & Gamble, Walmart, Coca-Cola, Microsoft, Verizon, United Health Group. And don't forget that one. That's the one that we keep an eye on because the retirees, you know. That's their insurer. Home Depot and Visa Inc. Everybody else took a hit. The biggest loser per share yesterday was Boeing, $9.98. And the biggest gainer yesterday per share was Procter & Gamble at $2.42 per share. Now, the most expensive stock on the Dow Jones based on this listing here is United Health Group at $368.50 per share. And then the second biggest one is Goldman Sachs. Followed by Goldman Sachs is at $331.77. And then they're followed by Home Depot at $289.98. And don't forget tomorrow, pop-up testing at the Home Depot over there in St. Thomas. Okay? And then Bud Hope Park Thursday morning here on St. Croix. Now, we got some good news for UVI, and I got to reach out to the president because we haven't spoken at all for a long, long time, so I got to reach out to President Hall. The Federal Emergency Management Agency recently awarded as much as $4.1 million to the University of the Virgin Islands to retrofit the dormitories and library on the Orville E. Ken campus on St. Thomas. According to UVI, the wind retrofit of all 5 residence hall, north, south, east, west, and middle, and the Ralph M. Paiwanski Library will include hardening structural components, including the roof, entry doors, window openings, gutters, electrical and mechanical equipment, lighting, security systems, and other at-risk elements in accordance with current building codes. This work is supposed to be constructed to meet 180-mile-per-hour design wind speed requirements for the U.S. Virgin Islands and the American Society of Civil Engineers. That means it should be able to withstand winds up to 180 miles per hour. Quote, after the passage of Hurricanes Irma and Maria in 2017, the university's facilities were compromised. Shirley Lake King, USVI Vice President for Administration and Finance and Chief Financial Officer, said in a statement, this project will ensure that students can remain in the residence halls during and after the passage of a storm. The next step is for UVI to hire a firm to complete design and engineering for the first phase. Once complete, UVI will reportedly make a final determination on the actual cost and solicit a contractor for construction. We're going to get some more into this story when we come back from the break. And I also want to reach out to my friend, Dwayne Henry. Dwayne, give me a call so we could update the listeners on the data transition period that the department is going through. Take a break. Analyze this beautiful Tuesday, Wednesday here in Paradise. We'll be back right after this.
Did you know you may be eligible for credit on your Via mobile, internet, or landline service through the Lifeline program? Lifeline is a federal program for qualifying low-income customers that lowers the monthly cost of important communication services. If you receive Medicaid, SNAP, housing assistance, or other government aid, a Lifeline credit may be available to you.
Contact Via at 340-777-8492 or visit the website via.vi/lifeline to see if you qualify.
DPNR State Historic Preservation Office is soliciting applications for historic preservation projects at properties damaged by Hurricanes Irma and Maria. Properties must be listed in or eligible for listing in the National Register of Historic Places to be able to apply for assistance. This program will prioritize historic contributing properties located within the historic districts of Charlotte-Amalie, Christiansted, Frederickstead, and Cruz Bay. Award amounts may range from $10,000 to $200,000 with no match required. An application package can be requested by sending an email to historic.recovery@dpnr.vi.gov or by applying online at dpnr.vi.gov or call the State Historic Preservation Office at 340-776-8605 for more information. The final deadline for applications has been extended to Wednesday, March 31st.
And we are back here on Analyze This. Like I said, you know, had a nice little blessing of a shower there. Now it's clear again. Absolutely beautiful here in paradise. By the way, don't forget to watch the Virgin Islands national team on FIBA YouTube channel. They're playing on the game starts today. They play Puerto Rico today at 6 p.m. Okay, and then they'll play Costa Rica tomorrow. The 25th, Dominican Republic on the 26th. Now, we had on our original list, we saw where they were playing Cuba on the 27th, but I don't see Cuba on this one. But I do see the game with El Salvador, the host country, scheduled for Sunday. That's the 28th. Okay, so between yes, today and Sunday. Now I got to find out because I spoke to Don Albao, his daughter. You know, Lanisa, she was on last week. You know, she's the point guard, and we're gonna bring him on tomorrow so he could give us some flavor in terms of from a coach's perspective as to what it's like playing international basketball. And here's their team, right? We got Lanisa Bao, Kadisha Barry, Imani Tate, Naja Nangba. That's N-G-O-N-G-B-A. Naja Nangba. And actually, I think the head coach, her last name is Nangba as well. We don't have her first name. See if we could work on that first name, Zoe. We know assistant coach Williams, his first name is Clint. But if we could get a first name for our lady head coach, that would be nice. And then Brittany Matthew, Akima Richards, Anisha George, Taylor Jones, and Akia Fret. And we actually have a manager for the team. Her last name is Robinson. So we need to see if we can get some more details there. Of course, when Don Albao come on tomorrow, we will make that work. I will get even more information then. So don't forget to support the Virgin Islands national team, the senior women's national team. And that action starts today. And they play Puerto Rico today. We had a list here with the rankings and all that stuff. I'm trying to get that. Zoe had hooked me up with that information. So hopefully we could get that. Because we got to speak about let the public know that they did damage 4 years ago when they went down to when they went down to Argentina, and they beat Brazil. So you know they could ball. That's the term we use, right? You know they could ball. And we're looking forward to that. Okay, Tajama Abraham Nangba. Okay, that's her name, Tajama Abraham Nangba. Okay, I wonder if this Ralph Abraham daughter. I think Wallace Williams gonna let me know in a little while. But I believe this Ralph Abraham daughter is a coach. Yeah, Tajama Abraham Nangba. Okay, that's cool. I like that. So we got Dwayne Henry. Morning. Oh, you're trying to hook me up there. The engineer. Morning, Dwayne. What's going on?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good.
No, I'm driving down the road, so that's why I said you had to give me a minute.
Yeah. You go pull over and don't get no trouble. No, yeah. Good morning. For those who don't know, Dwayne Henry is counsel. You special counsel to the commissioner or just counsel for the department?
It's the chief legal counsel for the department.
Oh, God. I beg your pardon. Chief legal counsel for the Department of Health. I kindly beg your pardon. Now, I know you don't know the technical aspects of the migration, right?
Uh-huh.
But generically, this is an upgrade, right? This is which we're trying to, the agency trying to upgrade the dissemination of data. That's what this is about?
Yes. This new system has more, it'll have more parameters, mm-hmm. more data reporting requirements, mm-hmm. which is part of the delay, is that more is going into the system, and the public and the users will be able to see much more information than we currently see in the FB report.
So they wouldn't need me to be doing my thing, to breaking down things in the morning is what you're saying. They could do things on their own based on information you guys are giving them.
Right, and you should be able to just read it right off.
Okay.
We make your life easy for you.
Okay, that's good. Now, you know, you've been there from the start. This is like the one year anniversary when we had to shut down the government a year ago. When we were first getting information, if you could recall, when we went from 0 to 30 real quick with uh-huh. with the positives, and then it actually frightened people into doing the right thing. Remember that? Because we had a 2 month window.
I was scared to leave the house.
we had a 2 month window there where the positives were not happening, which was a good thing, right? So now we're dealing with the vaccination and the vaccine window, and we could see the national numbers as it relates to the hospitalizations and all that stuff actually reducing, and the positive cases. And that's taking place here as well, right?
Yes. We had a slight increase here at St. Croix last week or so, where we had like 5 people in the hospital, which was quite odd.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that anomaly, we've been, the hospitalizations have been very low.
No, we had a good relationship. But by the way, when we were going over the numbers, we used to see where St. Croix had a greater testing volume than St. Thomas. But that was because of the relationship that we had with the refinery, right? With the construction?
Yes.
With the startup?
Yes. Yes. Pinnacle, their HR people, mm-hmm. had an agreement with them where they did the testing on their own, which saved us a lot of time and money. That you know, they hired a private approved provider,
mm-hmm.
to do testing for them, and that worked quite well for a while. Yeah.
And now that they are not in construction mode as much because they actually started the refining operation, their numbers has decreased as it relates to volume, right?
That's correct. Yes, you know, statistically, you know, the big number goes down, and then you that reduces our number.
And one more thing with respect to the refinery, those weren't necessarily refinery employees. There are a lot of contractors who were down here in the reconstruction and in the restart construction aspect, right?
That is correct. The vast majority were non-residents and just temporary employees.
Okay, but we weren't taking them lightly. They were all getting tested, is what you're saying.
That's correct, because it goes in our numbers. If it, you know, just like with the boat that came into St. Thomas and we took the guy off at one time, you know, they weren't from around Puerto Rico and actually refused to let them land. But, you know, we're not going to do that. And the commissioner did the right thing and allowed the guy to come off into St. Thomas. He added to our numbers. As a matter of fact, he was hospitalized for quite a while.
Yeah, he was.
So it was really bad at our numbers, but we accepted that.
Well, you know, this is the hospitality capital of the region, so there's nothing new there. Then we also had a slight uptick on the eastern of the island about a month and a half, 2 months ago. That has been remediated, right?
In terms of I haven't seen anything new coming out of there, but the number, the way it's reported in the old system, at least it would still show that was a hot spot. So it still shows, if you go and look at the map, as a matter of fact, the space, the area on the map doubled during that time that you spoke about it. You know, it was a serious spike.
That's the one thing that you like to focus on. You like to watch the map to see the hot spots.
Yes, you know, I got the geography guy. I love the map.
Yeah, every time I talk to you, you always tell me, Neville, check this area. Yeah. So I noticed that.
It's easy to see.
Yeah.
I tell people, I say, look, forget the numbers. When you see the map, you see red and purple. You say, oh, my God. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very easy for people to see it, and it's easy to explain from a statistical point of view. You know, you're saying these numbers, and you say, look, you know, you look at St. Thomas, they got crazy colors over here.
Yeah, but I'm glad you went there, because I was just going to reference a conversation I had with Senator Blyden, the majority leader, and he told me that a lot of people are traveling, a lot of overnight travelers are coming into St. Thomas. The Airbnbs, they're doing well. So was that a concern of the Department of Health in terms of, you know, because you run the risk of people coming in and they may be positive?
Absolutely. That's been one of our top concerns from the very beginning, is positives coming in. Because, you know, what a lot of people fail to realize is you could get tested yesterday and it says negative, and you could get infected at the airport coming down here. So there's always a risk of infection. You know, the testing is only, you use this term yourself, it's only a snapshot in time at that particular time. But I could get a test today, it says thing, and I could go party tonight and get positive tonight and the next morning fly.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That's
a good point. That's a good point you bring up.
Yes, that's why individual behavior is so important. You can't just, it's just like with the vaccine. You know, you're hearing people saying like, this guy took the vaccine, the people from Hawaii, and now they had it. The vaccine is 95%.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody could be in that 5%. Not only that, the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting it. It just, or even transmitting it. What it does is it reduces your vulnerability in terms of severity of disease or death.
Correct.
But you could still be infected and what. That's why you still have to practice these remediating measures, you know, social distancing, masks, you know. I hear people say, oh, I got my second vaccine, and they're walking around without a mask. I was like, come on, you know?
No, you bring up a good point, just from a hypothetical standpoint. The policies require that you have a test within the 4 days of travel. Right? So let's say you take a test on Monday and you test negative. That is good until Friday. So something could have happened on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. That's what you're saying.
Anything. Yes, anything could have happened. And that's why it's important that having a negative test or having a vaccine card with the two steps, it doesn't make you exempt or it doesn't release you from responsibility to make sure that you protect yourself and the other members of the public.
Before I go to the jewel of the Virgin Islands as it relates to recent positive cases, the way the department handled the problem in St. Thomas, was there anything special you did, or was this just public buy-in? Because there was a concern over there with the way the positives had shaken up in August and then again in November, that we could have a crazy, crazy spike in St. Thomas. Unfortunately, it never happened.
Right. Well, what happened was our assistant commissioner, Dr. Sims, Nicole Sims, out of St. Thomas, and the commissioner went over a couple of times to actually be on the ground with them. She had spearheaded, along with Janessa Ritter, this outreach program that was extremely, extremely successful in St. Thomas. They went all up in Savannah and Backstreet and Arcad and you know, and signed people up for testing, and most of those people came in and got tested, but everybody took literature and stuff like that, and so there was a great outreach on St. Thomas, like I said, by Dr. Sims and some others, that I think was instrumental in pulling St. Thomas back from the brink.
And I know when you listen to Dr. Sims, she had some personal situations. Where she was her family was impacted by COVID-19. So this is near this is near and dear to her.
Extremely, yes.
Yeah. Now finally, I'm not gonna call it an anomaly. I just call it that they're blessed. This thing in St. John, where we got like a shield around St. John for like the last month. To me, right, you need to look at it from the reverse prism. It really speaks to the uncertainty of this thing because it don't make no sense when everybody going over to St. John for dinner at night.
I heard you and Ty talk, Dr. Hunt, talking about that the other day. And I was like, yeah, this is like really weird. Maybe it's the salt air over there. I don't know.
Or maybe we need to give credit to the ferry companies. Making sure that when the people come on the boat, the ferry, uh-huh. the ferry service from Dongtong or from Red Hook, that they're really masking uh-huh. up and not spreading this thing.
Yep, because you just hit it on the nail. That would be the driver.
Mm-hmm.
That's simply going to say but sitting on a packed ferry going over to St. John, that would be the transmission mode right there. And the fact that hasn't happened that speaks to how they're conducting the business, Ms. Varlock and them.
That's Varlock. What next one, babe?
Transportation Services.
Transportation Services, because I watching these numbers now. March 1st, 43, negative, zero positives. March 2nd, 3-0. March 3rd, 11-0. March 4th, 1-0. It just goes on and on. Yeah. I mean, this thing was, they were really doing an excellent job. Over there, okay. Let me see. Monday, March 8th, 3-0.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday, March 9th, 34-1. I mean, geez, Sam, Brad. That's the ratio that you dream about.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So we
appreciate that.
And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if some epidemiology graduate student did a study. On that, for the dissertation or a master's thesis or something, because it's quite an interesting thing that would have to be particularly studied because the conventional wisdom doesn't.
That's a good point. Hopefully, one of them listening now and they take that up. And that's just a study of the ebbs and flows in terms of the positive cases and of course we want negative cases. Quickly. I need a favor. You could text me this down the road.
Okay.
Don't forget, Ayo, the migration data is back up on the website, but the total number tested is down in the 48,000 range, and we know we passed 50,000 already in total tests. So find out for me if we could modify that, was there an overcalculation prior to that has it at 48,000? Okay, that could be the case as well. You know what I'm saying? So find out for me and text me and let me know. All right?
Okay, I will.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot. Tell Janessa, text me. Thanks a lot.
Okay, I will.
Okay, good.
Okay.
That's Dwayne Henry, Chief Legal Counsel for the Department of Health. Of course, you know, we're in this COVID-19 window. Ain't all about legalese. It's sometimes it's about common sense and just watching the numbers and just asking people to buy into what we're trying to do because we're not out of the woods, okay? Analyze this. Like I said, picture perfect. Wednesday, hump day here in Paradise. We'll be back right after this. We'll be right back.
It's a new year, New Year's resolutions, new financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
Afternoon, Sharon.
Hey, Mr. Webster. I didn't see you there. Okay, I know. I'm 5 months behind and you're looking for rent. But you know I'm down to part-time work since the coronavirus started. And I just can't afford all the rent I owe you plus Wacko right now.
I know, but hear me out. VIHFA has an emergency rental assistance program that can help you get current on what you owe me.
Man, Mr. Webster, these government programs always make it so hard to even qualify.
Not to worry. ERAP is pretty simple. You could be eligible because you lost income due to COVID or more than 1 month's rent, and income falls within the medium range for the VAT.
Seriously?
It's a win-win, my girl. You just have to fill out some paperwork and apply.
And they just send you a check just like that?
Yes. Let's see what's required on VIHFA.gov so you're ready to apply when the program starts on March 29th. Good to go?
Good to go.
And we're back here on Analyze This. Thank you, Dwayne Henry, for giving us some insight with respect to how the Department of Health continues to manage this COVID-19 pandemic. We got to keep an eye on our positivity numbers and as well as how we go with the vaccination. Now, I was talking about earlier, right, about the dorms. And we're trying to get Ms. Adrienne Williams on real quickly because this was a significant appropriation by FEMA to retrofit. That's the term we're using here, right? No, I'll make sure I got the right words here. Yeah, retrofit the dorms over there on St. Thomas. And she was quoted as saying, that's the Office of Disaster Recovery in a statement. These dorms have been home to many local, national, and international students over the years, ensuring that all students are safe and secure in the face of a disaster is critical to fostering a resilient community of higher education learners. And another quote, the project's goal of mitigating the risks posed by hurricane winds will allow the university to recover quickly and expeditiously regain normalcy after weather events. The residence halls on the Ken campus can accommodate 350 students and range between 2 to 4 stories of both single and double occupancy units, in addition to suite style housing. And the resources housed in the 2-story library, the Pywanski Library, are comprised of instructional and research materials, as well as special Caribbean and local historic collections. Funding projects that protect intellectual and cultural assets are among FEMA's hazard mitigation grant program's core functions. So that's a good thing. Again, one of the things I like about the recovery monies is that we want it spread out. You know, we want all the different entities to be impacted because, you know, when you think back about it, right, looking back at it 3.5 years later, we struggled, you know, in that first 6 months. We struggled to get our footing. But given where we are, you know, normalcy is very much in play here. So what we're doing is just hardening our infrastructure. I believe we have Ms. Williams on the line. Good morning, Director. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Good. I see you got quoted, so I wanted to get you live and direct. $4.1 million for UVI. That's big.
Well, you know, the whole premise behind this recovery is really resiliency, mm-hmm. and we're not only repairing, but we're trying to ensure that we're well protected for any event that's coming forward. So The Hazard Mitigation Grant Program is the funding source that will provide that kind of protection. And the $4.1 million will also, you know, harden the dormitories and the libraries on the St. Thomas campus. And, you know, as the storms come and the students have to make that shift and that adjustment, there, you know, the fact that we have a hardened facility brings some peace of mind for our students at the university. So we're pleased that FEMA is able to provide that funding to the territory.
Now, that is incorporated in the $8 billion, or that's additional monies?
That's in the eight billion.
Okay, good. Yeah. Now we've had dorms here on St. Croix since maybe the early 2000s, and it looks like they constructed those buildings well, because I have yet to see any significant damage at the dorms here on St. Croix.
Right. So, you know, there's that gap existed on the St. Thomas campus where, you know, the shutters and other wind retrofit type activities will again bring the St. Thomas campus on a stronger base, similar to what we're seeing on the St. Croix campus.
And don't forget, the St. Croix dorms to the south side of the dorms got a lot of big mahogany tree and all them things, so that probably protect them from the lash, whereas the dorms in St. Thomas kind of exposed, right, on the hillside there?
Yeah, you know, and you definitely have to consider the topography,
yeah,
and the lay of the land is. But even so, you know, one of the flying debris comes from anywhere, and you may be seemingly nestled, but something comes from somewhere else and compromises the envelope of the building, and thereby giving you additional, you know, damages and trauma. But the fact that you're able to completely close in the buildings really puts us in a better footing.
And, you know, for those of you who are listening to Ms. Williams and you're hearing this, the information just flowing, all of this institutional knowledge comes from you working in the Housing Finance Authority, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've had the benefit of constructing homes across all three islands. So, you know, as when we start to talk about topography and the differences between the three islands, those are significant considerations for construction. You know, what we have to do on St. John and St. Thomas is a lot different than what we have to do on St. Croix. And we, of course, if you want to start talking about cost on all three islands, it's a whole different show. So, you know, that experience has come in very handy as we work to rebuild all of these facilities and strengthen and try to build resilience in our construction.
No, tomorrow, like I got you here, like tomorrow, you got an episode of Recovery and Focus tomorrow at 8 p.m., and we got Director Griffith. He returns to discuss the Envision Tomorrow CDBG DR Mitigation Program and the agency's newest initiative, the Emergency Rental Assistance Program, which hopes to distribute over $20 million in direct payments to eligible residents and customers who have fallen behind in their ability to pay monthly rent or utility bills. Now, this is near and dear to you. That I know.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it is. You know, the Housing Finance Authority has an emergency housing assistance type program that is provided with annual appropriations. It's on a very, very small scale. And they're building on that footprint to be able to expend the $20 million that has been received through the COVID funding, because, of course, a lot of our folks here in the territory has been affected by the downturn in the economy directly related to COVID. I've been approached by landlords who've asked me about what they should do about their tenants, if there are any assistance. And I told them, you know, hold on, please don't evict them. Just wait, because the help is near and it's now being able to be unfolded. So we have Director Griffith on the line with us on Recovery and Focus to share out the information on who's eligible, what's the process. You know, we've engaged nonprofit agencies to be able to provide the support out on a faster basis. It's not going to be centralized in the Housing Finance Authority. So we encourage you to tune in and get that information. If you don't even need the information for yourself, absolutely to be able to share it to others.
Now, Yoga, I read in this story here. Yoga, the Assistant Director Antonio Stevens for the fire service joining, right?
Yes.
And of course, your brother, right? You got a brother big in the fire for a lot of years, so you don't got link already with fire.
Well, he's retired now.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
But we have I have a full understanding. And we, if you want to call it, some intimate knowledge about what it takes to run the fire services. And, you know, people only, when you want them, you want to make sure that they're there. But there's a lot of coordination that goes on to ensure that when the need is there, that they're able to respond. So one of the very first things, of course, is making sure their facilities is up to par. And when the former FEMA director came down, he toured those fire stations and, you know, not only looked at what they could do for Irma and Maria damages, but also for their annual appropriations and their regular grants to help to provide resources to the fire service for equipment. And, you know, the fire service was immediately able to respond with an application for a grant. And we're waiting for the results of that. But it was a good opportunity to just look at where our facilities are, what the needs are, and finding different resources to provide the needs so that when we call, that the fire service is able to respond. And also in the show, we touched a little bit on the merger between EMS and VI Fire Service. So mm-hmm. It's going to be a good show. We want you to, the listening audience, to tune in Thursday at 8 o'clock and definitely on WTJX. It's Recovery and Focus.
One more aspect of the show that we forgot, you know, that's my boy, two of we were classmates, went into the legislature together, the agriculture commissioner. There's a section in this show that includes Commissioner Positive Nelson, where he took the cameras and everything to the agriculture fairgrounds to talk construction and the influence of St. Croix culture bearer Janice Totain, Auntie Janice out of the East, the late Auntie Janice. Yeah. What was that like? Oh, do you know about that, or are you going to see that for the first time? Because I know you can't do everything.
No, I wasn't on the site. I have an awesome, I'll take the opportunity to big up Lene Tolan, who is my project analyst on that. So she was on site with the VA Department of Agriculture team to look at the work that's being done on the fairgrounds. You mean, you know, all those buildings that they have there were damaged, and they've been working feverishly to get them repaired. And, you know, by the time our agricultural fair comes back around, we will be operating out of new buildings. So we just stopped in and checked on the progress of the work that's doing on the fairgrounds. They're also moving forward to design their building for their admin building that when you pass on the road, it's the damaged building, and they're moving forward on getting that done as well. So we're just, again, stopping by and seeing, giving the updates. They're showing, you know, the progress of the recovery projects across St. Croix.
That's awesome. Anything that you want to mention for St. Thomas? I know we talk about the UVI building. Anything else in addition to that? And of course, a little touch up on St. Janica. I don't like to leave them out. Anything that we need to be looking at? Well, the sports and recreation aspect, there was a big, there was a significant financial commitment for the ballpark in St. John. How that coming? Still in the early stages?
Yeah, I mean, one of the areas that we're going to see, I would say, the greatest amount of progress, of course, is our parks and our recreation facilities. Commissioner White is moving forward and getting a number of these projects that's out to bid right now, and also now selecting contractors to do the work. So we have, there's a community center on St. John that is about to be awarded, and they're going to be designing that facility and retrofitting it for a safe room mm-hmm. as well. So it's not only going to serve as an area where you have various community programs, but it's in the event of a disaster, if there's a place where the folks from St. John will be able to shelter as well. And we're layering a number of different funds for that project with some non-disaster funds as well as some of the recovery funds to not just build it back to where it was, but really to be able to expand it as well. So we're pretty excited about that. When the design comes in, we expect to put that out to bid and get the construction going for that facility. Nice. St. Thomas, of course, if we're talking about recreational facilities, you got Emil Griffith Ballpark. Joseph Urbain Ballpark in Frenchtown. We have a number of other.
How about Mac Bean? Mac Bean out in the country.
That's right, Mac Bean. The Smith over there in Spit Bay.
Yeah.
All those parks are either going out to bid or they're evaluating the bids that are coming in. So we expect to have a lot of work going on our facilities in the next couple months.
This job got me thinking so fortunate. And this, you know, I was senator for 12 years. I was just obsessed with St. Croix. Hear me calling out all these different projects in St. Thomas and St. John. Look where I come to. Well, my
no,
God.
No, come on. You ain't got a real border. It's completely, the mind has to be expanded
yes,
across the territory.
The scope. That's the term that I use, right? Broadening the scope. Right,
Brandon is
good. Yeah, so we good. Yes. I want the public to know, right, that this wasn't a planned appearance by the director. I had the engineer. I gave him her number, had her call so she can, augment what we read with UVI. And then, of course, you heard how naturally she's flowing with all these projects. We appreciate that. Finally, who is the new Bill Vogel? Because Mr. Vogel isn't here anymore. Can you get that name and let the public know what we're dealing with, that relationship?
So John Cavell is now the acting recovery director for FEMA in the Virgin Islands. So
John Cavell, you said?
John Cavell.
Cavell.
Yes,
okay.
And he's no stranger to recovery. He was also the recovery director for Superstorm Sandy.
Oh, that's Jersey. Yeah.
Yes, that's Jersey, New York.
Wow.
Disaster that was really...
2012, the hug scene around the world when Obama landed and Doughboy Chris Christie gave a nice big hug. They said that hug make Obama win re-election. The hug scene around the world. You know why you were hugging me, right? Help was on the way, baby.
Help was on the way.
You need help. Director, you know, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. We got a schedule.
But when you call, I have to answer. I just landed on St. Thomas, but when you call, I got to answer.
I appreciate that. Our relationship is good. And finally, right, give Calvert some of the nights off for this weekend because it's NCAA tournament time, and you know he was a basketball player. And I'm going to need him to come in to do some review because, you know, we got a Virgin Islander, Aaliyah Boston, who is dominant for the South Carolina Gamecocks. They won again yesterday. So I'm going to get him on to talk some basketball. So give him a break. Give him a break so he can talk. Okay?
What is it? A la orden.
I like that. Thank you very much, Director. Keep on keeping on, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You got it. That's Adrian Williams, Octoline. You know, I got engineer. All I got to do is pop the number and he gets on the phone. He makes it happen. They might go straight to voicemail once or twice, but he ain't backing down. And, you know, I'm sure when he starts softening them up and tell them, yo, the host would like to speak to you for a little bit, they come on. So thank you very much, Mr. Engineer. I appreciate that. We got a great second hour coming up. You know, regular contributor Ronnie Russell joining me for hour number two. We're talking about a very sensitive matter that Ronnie spoke about last year that unfortunately is playing out. Crime is not limited to the Virgin Islands. We saw what happened in Atlanta last week, Boulder on Monday. Got to talk about that in detail. It's not just the crime. It's the mental illness, number of different dynamics involved. We'll take a break. First hour's in the book. We'll be back for hour number two.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters. We'll be right back.